理课堂听 class.com。
Unit 8, Preview. This unit begins with a foreword from Bill Gates's well-known book, The Road Ahead. This phrase could also be the title for this unit, as all three texts look to the future, describing revolutionary new technologies that will continue to change our lives. In text A, Gates recalls the moment he first became interested in personal computers,and outlines some of the possibilities for how today's newest innovations will develop. He argues that important decisions about new technologies should be made not only by computer experts, but by everyday users as well. Text B, Smart Machines, Our Tireless Helpers, speculates that two new technologies, artificial intelligence and robots, will make life easier for humans in the future.And text C tells the incredible story of how two Chinese college students saved a friend's life by using the internet to gather information about her rare health condition.
Text A. Foreword by Bill Gates. The past 20 years have been an incredible adventure for me.It started on a day when, as a college sophomore, I stood in Harvard Square with my friend Paul Allen and pored over the description of a kit computer in Popular Electronics magazine. As we read excitedly about the first truly personal computer, Paul and I didn't know exactly how it would be used, but we were sure it would change us and the world of computing. We were right.The personal computer revolution happened, and it has affected millions of lives. It has led us to places we had barely imagined. We are all beginning another great journey. We aren't sure where this one will lead us either, but again, I am certain this revolution will touch even more lives and take us all farther. The major changes coming will be in the way people communicate with each other.The benefits and problems arising from this upcoming communications revolution will be much greater than those brought about by the PC revolution. There is never a reliable map for unexplored territory, but we can learn important lessons from the creation and evolution of the $120 billion personal computer industry. The PC, its evolving hardware,business applications, online systems, internet connections, electronic mail, multimedia titles, authoring tools and games, is the foundation for the next revolution. During the PC industry's infancy, the mass media paid little attention to what was going on in the brand new business. Those of us who were attracted by computers and the possibilities they promised were unnoticed outside our own circles.But this next journey to the so-called information highway is the topic of endless newspaper and magazine articles, television and radio broadcasts, conferences, and widespread speculation. There has been an unbelievable amount of interest in this subject during the last few years, both inside and outside the computer industry. The interest is not confined only to developed countries.And it goes well beyond the large numbers of personal computer users. Thousands of informed and uninformed people are now speculating publicly about the information highway. The amount of misunderstanding about the technology and its possible dangers surprises me. Some people think the highway is simply today's internet, or the delivery of 500 simultaneous channels of television.Others hope or fear it will create computers as smart as human beings. Those developments will come, but they are not the highway. The revolution in communications is just beginning. It will take place over several decades, and will be driven by new applications, new tools, often meeting currently unforeseen needs. During the next few years, major decisions will have to be made.It is crucial that a broad set of people, not just technologists or those who happen to be in the computer industry, participate in the debate about how this technology should be shaped. If that can be done, the highway will serve the purposes users want, Then it will gain broad acceptance and become a reality. I'm writing this book, The Road Ahead, as part of my contribution to the debate, and although it's a tall order, I hope it can serve as a travel guide for the forthcoming journey. I do this with some misgivings. We've all smiled at predictions from the past that look silly today. History is full of now ironic examples. The Oxford professor who in 1878 dismissed the electric light as a gimmick. The commissioner of U.S. patents who in 1899 asked that his office be abolished because everything that can be invented has been invented. This is meant to be a serious book, although 10 years from now it may not appear that way. What I've said that turned out to be right will be considered obvious, and what was wrong will be humorous. Anyone expecting an autobiography or a treatise on what it's like to have been as lucky as I have been will be disappointed. Perhaps when I've retired I will get around to writing that book. This book looks primarily to the future. Anyone hoping for a technological treatise will be disappointed too. Everyone will be touched by the information highway, and everyone ought to be able to understand its implications. That's why my goal from the very beginning was to write a book that as many people as possible could understand. The process of thinking about and writing the present book took longer than I expected. Indeed, estimating the time it would take proved to be as difficult as projecting the development schedule of a major software project. The only part that was easy was the cover photo, which we finished well ahead of schedule. I enjoy writing speeches and had thought writing a book would be like writing them. I imagined writing a chapter would be the equivalent of writing a speech. The error in my thinking was similar to the one software developers often run into. A program 10 times as long is about 100 times more complicated to write. I should have known better. And here it is. I hope it stimulates understanding, debate, and creative ideas about how we can take advantage of all that's sure to be happening in the decade ahead.
New words.
Forward.
Incredible.
Sophomore.
Poor.
Description.
Kit.
Compute.
Barely.
Upcoming.
PC.
Reliable.
Territory.
Creation.
Evolution.
Billion.
Evolve.
Application.
Online.
Internet.
Connection.
Electronic.
Multimedia.
Title.
Author.
Foundation.
Infancy.
Medium.
Attract.
Possibility.
So-called.
Endless.
Conference.
Speculation.
Amount.
Confine.
Speculate.
Misunderstanding.
Misunderstand.
Delivery.
Simultaneous.
Channel.
Unforeseen.
Crucial.
Technologist.
Debate.
Purpose.
Acceptance.
Contribution.
Forthcoming.
Misgiving.
Prediction.
Gimmick.
Commissioner.
Patent.
Abolish.
Humorous.
Autobiography.
Treatise.
Retire.
Primarily.
Technological.
Implication.
Process.
Estimate.
Project.
Software.
Chapter.
Equivalent.
Developer.
Complicated.
Stimulate.
Phrases and expressions.
Communicate with.
Arise from.
Bring about.
Go on.
Go beyond.
Tall order.
Get around to. Get round to.
Look to.
Ahead of schedule.
Run into.
Take advantage of.
Proper names.
Bill Gates.
Harvard Square.
Paul Allen.
Popular Electronics.
The Road Ahead.
Oxford.
Text B.
Smart Machines, Our Tireless Helpers, by Joan Young Gregg and Joan Russell. Can machines be as intelligent as human beings? There is a lot of discussion these days about artificial intelligence machines and their relation to human intelligence. Some computer scientists are developing machines that can be programmed to think and act in some ways like human beings. As inventors work on their projects, they are learning more about a computer's capabilities in relation to a human's. One team of experts in California is developing an artificial intelligence research machine. It will offer services and advice like a thoughtful assistant. A smart machine such as this one would be capable of helping people in a variety of professions. For example, it could work tirelessly to help a doctor identify a person's illness. It might summarize a reporter's news story, help a lawyer fight a court case, and even make up a quiz for an English teacher. Someday doctors, reporters, lawyers, and teachers might want to consult an artificial intelligence psychologist for advice on their personal problems. When a team of scientists working in Antarctica wanted to explore the volcano Mount Erebus, they designed a smart machine called Dante to do the job. Dante is a robot. It is over 9 feet long, over 5 feet wide, and weighs almost 1,000 pounds. It looks like a giant spider with 8 legs that can move in all directions at a speed of 6.5 feet a minute. In the center of its body is a pole holding 6 video cameras, 3 looking forward and 3 looking back, to give a 360-degree view of an area. The scientists gave Dante instructions on how to climb down a steep slope. They taught it how to step over rocks and how to avoid dangerous objects in its path. They figured that it would take Dante 24 hours to complete its journey 700 feet down. Once at the bottom of the volcano, Dante would take temperature readings, measure the composition of the gases, and collect samples of minerals. Filled with the knowledge of how to do everything, Dante seemed ready for its job. Placed at the edge of the volcano, it started down. But after travelling only a few feet, Dante stopped dead. The cable connecting it to its controllers had broken. Even the smartest, most extraordinary robots, like people, can become disabled. Dante's controllers were disappointed with their experiment, but they didn't give up. They say that they can learn from their failures, and as they get smarter, so will Dante. An improved Dante can then provide them with information never before available about the gases and minerals inside a volcano. The gases and minerals in Mount Erebus may be responsible for the hole in the ozone layer that develops over Antarctica each year. The hole allows increased rays from the sun that can cause cancer. The scientists say that Dante is an important new tool that can help solve some of our environmental problems. They also say that someday more advanced descendants of Dante will be sent to explore the planet Mars. Some robots of the future may also do ordinary jobs. There may be robot gas station attendants that can fill a tank without the driver leaving the car. Robot dressmakers will construct a dress to exact measurement while the woman is having a cup of coffee in the dress shop. Perhaps everyone will have a personal robot for the home. Imagine what a robot will do for you. Can science and technology take us too far by programming intelligence into machines? Some people think there is a danger in this. They say that these machines will take over jobs and leave many people unemployed. Scientists think differently. They say that artificial intelligence will free people from difficult, dangerous, or boring work. Then people can use their abilities and time for more creative occupations. Some people see another kind of danger. They are afraid that intelligent machines or robots will become smarter than humans and turn into evil monsters. Scientists answer this fear simply. people will always be in control of smart machines. The prediction is for a good working relationship between human beings and their tireless helpers.
New words.
Tireless.
Artificial.
Artificial intelligence.
Capability.
Thoughtful.
Capable.
Variety.
Profession.
Identify.
Summarize.
Court.
Someday.
Consult.
Volcano.
Giant.
Spider.
Video.
Instruction.
Steep.
Slope.
Reading.
Sample.
Mineral.
Cable.
Controller.
Extraordinary.
Disable.
Available.
Ozone.
Layer.
Ray.
Cancer.
Solve.
Environmental.
Descendant.
Gas station.
Attendant.
Dressmaker.
Construct.
Measurement.
Unemployed.
Boring.
Bore.
Occupation.
Monster.
Relationship.
Phrases and expressions.
In relation to.
A variety of.
Make up.
Stop dead.
Give up.
Be responsible for.
Turn into.
In control of.
Proper names.
Joan Young Gregg.
Joan Russell.
Antarctica.
Mount Erebus.
Dante.
Mars. Text C. Internet helps solve a medical mystery. On April 10th, two college students in Beijing transmitted a desperate request for help across the internet and opened a new dimension in the practice of medicine. Hi. This is Peking University in China. A young 21-year-old student has become very sick and is dying. Doctors at the best hospitals in Beijing cannot cure her. So now we are asking the world, can somebody help us? Somebody could. The students, who described details of their friend's baffling symptoms, were soon flooded with 2,000 email replies from physicians and researchers in 18 countries. Less than 3 weeks after the computerized message in a bottle was pitched into the electronic waves, a diagnosis was made and confirmed. Zhu Lingling had been poisoned by a heavy metal called thallium. At a time when critics are bemoaning the proliferation of useless information and chatter in cyberspace, Ms. Zhu's case offers hope that the internet's technology can harness worldwide medical resources to save more lives. Her legacy will be tremendous, said Dr. Rich Hamilton of the New York Poison Center, which already is planning its own worldwide website on the internet to provide assistance to anyone who asks for it. While issues about patient confidentiality, physician payment, and the ability to limit online access to health professionals have yet to be resolved, the possibility of rapidly transmitting information to a global audience for problem-solving is tantalizing. Zhu's case has triggered something, said Li Xin, a graduate student in biomedical physics at University of California, Los Angeles. Li acted as go-between for American doctors and the parents of the patient, navigating through a sea of email messages. It will change the way medicine is practiced. A chemistry student at Peking University, Ms. Zhu was smart, successful, and well-liked. In December of 1994, she began suffering from stomach pains and vomiting. Her hair began to fall out, leaving her bald within weeks. Doctors had no answers for her. But a month later, again inexplicably, her hair grew back, and she recovered. After the second semester of school had started, on March 7th, she got sick for the second time, said Dr. Daniel. Valentino, Lee's supervisor at the Medical Imaging Division of UCLA. She was admitted into the Peking University Medical Center and hasn't left since. Once more her hair fell out. She suffered dizziness and blurred vision, along with pain in her hands and feet. Soon the pain became a paralysis, spreading up her body to her diaphragm, preventing her from breathing on her own. She slipped into a coma on March 15th. Soon after, her friends Bei Zicheng and Cai Quanqing visited. Aghast at her condition, they turned to the Internet, an untried tool for emergency medical aid. Their electronic broadcast caught the attention of Li, who, interested in the technology's potential for solving such unusual medical problems, assumed the role of detective. Sifting through nearly half of the 2,000 responses, he found nearly 100 physicians and chemists who suggested thallium toxicity. He quickly transmitted the news to Ms. Zhu's friends, who in turn informed the Beijing doctors and the young woman's parents. Specialists were brought in to test for the heavy metal. Urine, blood, spinal fluid, hair and nail samples were studied, and on April 28th, the cause of her coma became clear. "I got a call at 6 a.m. from Bei," Li said. "It was definitely thallium poisoning. She had nearly 100 times the normal amount of thallium in her blood and 1,000 times more in her nails," he said. "The hair loss was the big clue," said Dr. Hamilton of the New York City Poison Center, who had seen the message on the Internet. "Of all the possible heavy metal poisonings, thallium is distinctive because of that." Dr. Hamilton used email to advise Li, who passed along the information to doctors in Beijing. "It's not surprising the doctors there didn't think of thallium toxicity," Dr. Hamilton said. "There have only been sporadic reports of it." After making the diagnosis, the next step was to find a treatment. All the toxicologists Li consulted, from Los Angeles to Colorado to New York, agreed. Ms. Zhu must be given a dye called Prussian blue, commonly found in chemistry labs. Thallium molecules are trapped in the dye, and when Prussian blue is excreted from the body in urine and feces, so is the thallium. Dialysis would help the process along, cleaning the blood of the heavy metal. By May 3rd, Prussian blue was being fed to Ms. Zhu through a tube in her nose. The thallium began to leave her body, along with the brilliant blue dye. At one point, even her perspiration was blue. As her thallium levels dropped, she began to get better. On May 30th, she showed the first sign of some neurological recovery, Li said. Her parents stood close to her bed, and her blood pressure and pulse went up. They went down again when her parents left. She was excited. Ms. Zhu remained in the intensive care unit until June 8th, when she was moved to a regular ward because she finally could breathe without the help of machines. And now, Beijing doctors still are using Prussian blue to clear the last of the thallium out of her system.